trying to find kid-friendly weekend activities? Or maybe you're looking to pamper your pet? Then head over to CBS Local's Family and Pet section at bestof.cbslocal.com. You'll find recommendations on one-tank road trips and nearby staycations, plus ideas for the best local swim classes and family-friendly hikes. For everything family and pets in your city, visit bestof.cbslocal.com. CBS Local. Local lives here.
Looking for a way to advance your career? Northwestern offers a master's in health communication in just 1 year. Attend the April 14th info session. More at HealthCom with two M's. Northwestern.edu.
There's an old saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. At Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Services, we treasure Chicagoland, which is why we've put our heart and soul into keeping it clean for over 80 years. An American-built company, we specialize in removing and recycling refuse so that you can proudly call the Windy City home. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Services. Our trucks of green keep Chicagoland clean. For service, visit floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Is your restaurant using the best point-of-sale system available? I'm Joe Flynn, owner of PDQ Signature Systems. If your restaurant doesn't have online ordering, delivery mapping, or a customer rewards program, you need PDQ. Whether you're casual or fine dining or quick service with delivery, if you want happy customers, you need PDQ. Your costs will go down, your revenue will go up. Visit PDQ today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com. If your favorite restaurant doesn't have online ordering, tell them to visit PDQPOS.com.
3015.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is the official radio home for White Sox baseball. Listen to every White Sox game here.
Turn on a firework!
On Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago Sports Station. WSER and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, the Wolves regular season will wrap up at Allstate Arena this Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 4. The Blackhawks open the playoffs on Wednesday at Nashville. Here's Jonathan Toews.
We've seen enough every year and past years too to know. I mean, obviously this year, considering the coaching change and the different style and the season that they had offensively, being the top of our division for a long time, in a way it could be different, could be surprising in some ways, but I think at the end of the day we know what they do well and what they don't and try and capitalize on that.
Patrick Kane was a full participant in practice this morning, but the team has not announced when Kane will return to the lineup. The Bulls play at Brooklyn tonight and wrap up the regular season on Wednesday at the UC with the Atlanta Hawks. Derrick Rose will see increased playing time before the playoffs start. Toronto holds the 3 seed in the East with games at Boston tomorrow, then hosting Charlotte on Wednesday. The White Sox are off today and open a 2-game set in Cleveland on Tuesday. The Cubs host Cincinnati tonight with John Lester opposing Mike Leake. Back to the NBA, Rod Thorne, the president of basketball operations, will retire in August. Thorne was a GM of multiple NBA teams, including the Bulls, when Michael Jordan was drafted the year after 1983. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Northwestern.
Don't give it to him, Tanny. Don't just he doesn't. He's got to earn it, man.
How did I not earn that? That was completely earned.
Okay.
He was drafted in 84, and I went around that to say that it was the year after 83.
Terry, isn't it good to have everything back how we're used to, have the whole crew here?
It makes, you know what? It just makes me heartsick, really. Earned. All of it does.
Makes you homesick?
Yeah, heartsick, not homesick. No, not homesick.
I enjoyed while Dan was gone. He texted me more from France than he does when he's
does
here
he
in
really?
The States.
Does he really? Why did he text you?
I sent him pictures of my duck.
Yeah, we were getting pictures and
it's look out.
Duck. About his,
look out.
His special experiences.
Oh, is that, I didn't
in the
even know what
sauna.
That was. Yeah, yeah, I mean, just, okay.
I'm well, hearing all this stuff.
He didn't text me and I
I got more
be
text from France.
Me neither, Terry.
Than, yeah, more text from France, Terry, than I had the last 2 years.
Well, he was
worried, I'm not complaining when he doesn't text me here. I'm just saying.
No, you shouldn't. Nor should you.
I'm just saying. Hashtag. So anyway, I didn't earn that.
We got a beef.
What's your favorite pot pie? Mine's beef. Thugs is turkey. What's yours? Anywho.
All right, Lenny's waiting. Come on.
So I did earn that, yeah, by the
who
way.
Who cares?
Whatever. Yeah, that's right. Who cares? He can wait. He was only born in 1983, Len Casper.
83.
This scoreboard update brought to you by Northwestern Center for Health Masters and Health Communication info session is on April 14th. And breaking news on the score is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai, where you can save a fistful of dollars. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the score is tomorrow at 5:35 when the Sox take on the Indians on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by CDH Proton Center.
Oh, baby!
Lynn Casper.
Absolutely massacred. Soler.
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Cubs win! Rizzo comes through.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Cubs lead! Dexter Fowler! Two-run homer!
Way out of here! Chris Bryant's done it again.
Lynn Casper.
To infinity and beyond.
What's that from?
Star Wars.
Lynn Casper with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
At 204 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And we always look forward to our conversations with our next guest.
He's at Lynn Casper on Twitter, and he is on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. And from my limited sample size of Cubs viewing so far, Lynn, all I can say is it's different. Whatever this is, it is noticeably, palpably different.
Yeah, I would agree. And welcome back, Dan, by the way. I think too many people had their judgment affected by the 2-for-25 start with runners in scoring position, which isn't unimportant. You always want to get as many hits as you can, especially in those big spots. But those things tend to kind of even out as the season moves along. But what I think you're getting at is that you've got guys up and down this lineup who will work a count, take a walk. They really missed some opportunities on Friday against Tyler Matzek. He was 2-0 on just about everybody, and it was just one of those days where the Cubs couldn't get that big hit. But you know, Fowler has had a great weekend, and I think will fit very nicely in that top spot in the lineup. Tommy La Stella is battling a little minor side oblique, rib cage, whatever, injury, and he should be back in the lineup shortly. Mike Olt will work a count. Chris Bryant, when he comes up here, will. We know Anthony Rizzo does, Miguel Montero. So you have more guys than not in this lineup. Alcantara has taken, I think, three walks the last 2 days, who will put pressure on that opposing pitcher. And then the hope is when you get guys at first and second, bases loaded, what have you, when Soler and Bryant and Rizzo come up, there's nowhere to put them, and they're kind of forced to make a pitch they don't want to have to make.
See, here's how dumb I am, and this is, and we talk, we visit with you every, you know, once a week the entire baseball season. I didn't realize till today the Cubs had not come from behind at all last year in the ninth inning to win a game.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I didn't either. Most teams
don't say that.
and usually the record in the ninth is like, you know, they're 2-80 or
right,
2-67.
When trailing, yeah.
To not have won all of last year is pretty remarkable. But I didn't know that either. I kind of erased last year out of my brain, I think. But those are fun, and I don't know if they're character builders or if they lead to any sort of momentum. I think
Stop.
That's probably overrated,
Stop.
But it is good to see.
Well, you speak of character, and for Fowler to do it, first of all, off LaTroy Hawkins, which is just so great. But Fowler is a really interesting guy, and as much as we know that Theo and Jed, for whatever you think it's worth, they do think it matters the kind of guy that you are and some of this level of maturity, and Fowler's got every bit of it. You know, he really, when you listen to him talk and you understand the way that the teammates sort of speak about him, that's sort of a pro's pro who just seems to be a really solid fit and is projecting to be an outstanding acquisition, I think.
And I would say most likely is a one and done guy because he's due to hit free agency after the season. Mm-hmm. He's 29. He really is in the prime of his career. And if you believe in the Greg Vaughn theory that you want to get a guy in the last year of his contract, then mm-hmm. theoretically Dexter is set up to have, if not the best year of his career, certainly one of the best. I'd like to see a study on that in terms of motivation and if that is actually true, because you do hear that a lot in baseball, that certain guys tend to have their biggest seasons right when they're ready for their biggest payday. And, you know, I don't think it indicates necessarily that guys don't try as hard when they have a big payday on the line, but I don't think it hurts. And as Joe Maddon said, he said, I like 28, 29-year-old guys because those are the guys who – are still young enough and athletic enough to do all the things they could do when they were 24, but have enough wisdom and experience in the game where all those things that you mentioned, Dan, can come to fruition and really help a clubhouse that has a good mix. I like the young and the old and the guys in the middle right now. It feels right.
You know, it's funny because I always kind of think the same way, that when you get the guy in that last year of that contract, for whatever reason, Lenny, and you see it over the years, you're a baseball fan for a long time, you see a lot of it. I'm not saying, you know, probably the ones you don't see are the 20 other guys who suck in the last year of the contract just like they did in the first two. But, I mean, it just seems like there's so many guys you've seen over the, I mean, maybe it's just your mind's eye saying, ah, that's really not true. But then you read about it and it sticks with you that, yeah, see, yeah, in that last year of the contract, they're very dangerous.
Yeah, and the Fowler deal fits into kind of going for it this year, right? Because
sure.
You know, he's not a guy you expect to be here for very long, because they've got Albert Almora and a few other guys kind of pushing in the mid minor league system right now. And I think Almora is probably considered the center fielder of the future. But you know, it's not like they just wanted to just grab anybody they could. They wanted a guy who was versatile, with a switch hitter, and a guy who gets on base, and that I just keep pounding it home. This is a team that, aside from 2008, just has not gotten on base enough. And I was talking with Joe yesterday or the day before about runners in scoring position, and I said, invariably, everywhere we go, I know it's happened before, we'll talk to another team's broadcaster, and I'll say, so what's going on with your club? And the guy will say, we can't get anybody in with less than two outs. And I'll go, you lead the league in runs. What are you talking about? Every team rues
says
the
that.
Fact
yep.
that they can't mm-hmm. hit with runners in scoring position. And in a lot of cases, it's just not true. But if you hit 270 with runners in scoring position, that means you're making, you know, 7 to 8 outs every 10 at-bats. It's just kind of the way things go right now. And aside from the Cardinals 2 years ago, I think most teams kind of think they could be a lot better at it.
John Lester back in action tonight, and it was sort of this outsized scrutiny about his desire or ability to make throws over to first base or when fielding his position. And he kind of said, well, look at the numbers, and people
don't steal
on me all that much. And he clearly, you know, it looked to me like he was genuinely annoyed by some of this stuff, that it just sounded, when the more he was asked about it, it's like he wanted to say, hey, dude, this is, you're making a thing out of something that's not a thing, which is what it appeared to be, and now everybody's still talking about it.
Yeah, I think if we have, you know, 10 parts of John Lester in terms of what he is as a pitcher, I think this makes up maybe a tenth or a fifth at the most, and it feels like we've spent more than half the time talking about him, talking about this subject.
Right.
Part of the reason, and I don't know if he has issues throwing to first, but part of it is he doesn't have to. Teams have not run on him all that much. If you watch him work with runners on base, he does various times to the plate. He has that look that he might throw over. So all of last year, he didn't make one pickoff attempt, yet the league did not go crazy on him. I think part of it was the Cardinals want to run more. Mike Matheny talked about it in spring training. They're a team that definitely wants to run more. So opening night, it ends up being an ESPN Sunday night game.
Right.
They've got a lot of time to talk big picture stuff. Curt Schilling likes to get into that stuff too. So it kind of blew up. But, yeah, is it something to watch? Absolutely. Is it something to fret about? I'm not going to worry about it just yet. Now, Billy Hamilton may go 5 for 5 in stolen bases tonight. But if he doesn't score, it doesn't matter. So we're talking a base or two here. John Lester's main job is to keep guys from getting out in the first place, and I'll let his track record speak for itself.
Yeah, I remember Terry Mulholland being one of those guys who, anytime he had to make that throw to second to start a double play, you just wanted to be wearing a hard hat somewhere in the ballpark, because he couldn't do it. He could not make that throw. The pickoff throws were okay, but if that move, either a pickoff to second base or starting a double play there, just couldn't have. But ultimately, the guy was a terrific pitcher for a long time, a journeyman who made a ton of money, staying in the league forever.
And a nice guy.
Oh, great
guy. Yeah.
Fun
terrific
guy.
Yeah.
But so what? I mean, it all seemed very strange from a distance that there was that kind of concentration on it. And maybe you're right, with the pressure off and a local broadcast, it probably ends tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, Matt Garza can't throw to bases. We saw that a lot here. But, you know, you get people out, you're going to make a lot of money, and it does help to be able to field your position well. There's no question about that, and to be able to help your cause at the plate. But the bottom line is John Lester is being paid the big bucks to get people out. And I think tonight, hopefully, we'll feel a little different than last week with all the hype surrounding opening day.
Now, I know you love Kyle Hendricks. That's your guy, and I love the idea of Kyle Hendricks, and I want that to be true. I want it to be this guy who is that much smarter and that much more precise and a step ahead, even though he's throwing 89 miles an hour. But at some point,